This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Richard Lloyd and Dee Dee Smith join me live in studio for an update on that. Dee Dee, where are we with this? What's the latest?
Yes, well, thanks for having us on, Coy. Two important studies are on the table right now. The city just got back phase one of a study looking at the existing dam at Ragged Mountain. This is a study they did absolutely independently. They didn't even involve Rivanna in it. They paid for it. They wrote the RFP. They managed it. And it shows it's just amazing. It's shocking even that the dam is so much better than anybody even knew. It's the existing dam. This is the existing dam, the one that everybody has been saying who's pro plan. The dam's no good. It's unsafe. It's crumbling. It's, you know, there's lots of fear mongering.
That's why we need a new dam.
That's why we need a new dam. Don't even think about even fixing that old dam. Well, the study just came back and said it's actually in excellent condition, better condition than even the prior study, which said it was actually fine.
So where does this all come from? Because this has been a main talking point of the 50-year water supply plan advocates, Richard, who have said we have to do this new big expensive new bathtub reservoir because the old dam is no good.
Yeah, and that's the big question. You're exactly right, Coy. Where does this all come from? Because Liz Palmer gets on, and she is a veterinarian, but she really is saying what she's been told to say. I mean, I don't think she's coming up with this. Then you get all these other folks that come on board, like even last Friday we had former Supervisor Slutsky saying the dam is old and it's crumbling and it's failing. And within 10 minutes, this report came out saying not only is it good, but it's very good. And on top of that, you go back into the original study, and if you go to Section 5 of the study, it shows the structural stability of the dam, and it says it passes in all conditions all of the criteria of the Corps of Engineers, and it lists about 7 or 8 different loading conditions that are put on it. So the real question is, where is the source of all of this? Is the source a credible source, or is this a complete red herring?
What's interesting, Coy, is that what a lot of the folks who were really pushing that the dam was no good, we're using a reference from 1913, these letters that somebody found in the archives. And, I mean, it seemed, it was so ridiculous at the time, yet it really gathered some credibility because higher-up people were saying it and using it. And in fact, it was a red herring. I mean, there was no legitimacy to these letters. They were just letters. They weren't even in
Well,
report.
As a historian, I find a lot of value in some of that archival stuff. So
dismissing
it outright, what actually was it that they were using, Richard, to say this 1912 reference, say that the current dam was no good?
Well, there was a civil engineer, and he published a letter in 1913, and the letter was unsigned, and we don't know who he was or what his motives were or whatever, but it is irrelevant entirely because the dam was completely re-engineered and rebuilt in 1933. It is currently predominantly an earthen dam. The cyclopane is buried. If you go down there, and I trust that you have, and you look at the dam, you can't find any cyclopane.
Which is what?
Cyclopane is a method that was used for eons. It refers to the cyclops, and the cyclops used very large aggregate boulders and so forth and set them into cement. It was actually considered, cyclopane was a consideration for the Sugar Hollow Dam, but the Sugar Hollow Dam, they found a cheaper way of doing it. They used rubble instead.
So that reference is really referring to an older dam that has been since replaced or re-engineered by a newer 1930s dam.
1933, and nobody can find the engineering of that dam. And in fact, and as we've said for months now, that dam, the history of the Ragged Mountain Dam, the dam at Ragged Mountain, has been recanted by Sally Thomas, by Liz Palmer, by numbers of people who completely omit the fact that it was re-engineered and rebuilt in 1933.
So we're talking with Dee Dee Smith and Richard Lloyd. The phone lines are open 977-1070. It's 20 minutes until 6 o'clock. This, of course, just to back up a minute and underscore the point here, this has been a main talking point of people who are proponents of the 50-year water supply plan, that this dam is no good, and you're saying the new study is in, the dam is fine.
Not only is it fine, the only thing that needs to be addressed in it, and we always have known this, everybody agrees, is a spillway. It is solid beyond that.
What
it
is can a be, spillway?
A spillway is the... Richard,
spillway is
this?
The when you have excess water accumulating behind the dam, the spillway is nothing more than the chute that allows the water to escape. The spillway that's there is grossly inadequate.
Like the little hole in the bathtub that it, so it
exactly.
won't overflow.
No, it's more like the overflow in the sink. You know, yeah. if you fill the sink, it'll eventually overflow out. But this spillway is, you know, it stood up to Camille, but it can't stand up to the flood of the rain of record, the a major rain.
It's just not big enough.
Well, they say that rain would be 40-some inches of rain that would hover over top of Ragged Mountain. It's unlikely, but it is possible. So we want.
So it needs a new spillway, but it doesn't need a new dam,
right, exactly.
The Ragged Mountain Reservoir,
exactly.
Unless you have a plan that you want to increase
the
volume of the dam.
Actually, now this study has just said you can increase that by 35 to 45 feet. That's as tall as that new dam. They say you can do it. It would need some engineering to do that, of course, but that is one of the options. It's another option is to raise it 13 feet, as Dave Norris has often advocated. You can just repair it, but bottom line is you can use the existing dam.
Now, what's your response then to the folks who've said, yeah, this is all fine and dandy, but at the end of the day, you know, doing that isn't going to get us the water that we need. So we got to build a new reservoir and a new dam because we're going to need a lot more water.
Well, that's the next study, and that we're hoping to see a draft of, and actually it's just a very small study to review the old demand analysis. That's what it's called. That's the study that says how much water are we going to need, and their time frame is 50 years, so in 2055.
Coy, the problem here is that everybody is saying, well, we need a new plan, and they think the plan has to be built immediately. But the plan is you can do a phase of it this year. You could dredge, and that may take you for 20, 30 years. We don't know because we don't have, you know, that hasn't been calculated yet. And then you can tap into Beaver Creek, and that may take you another 40 years. Then you can tap into, groundwater. There are all kinds of places to go for water that are a lot cheaper and a lot better than building this huge dam and pipeline project.
And ultimately, that's what, as far as I'm concerned, that's really what we're talking about. I'm fascinated with the politics of this discussion.
Right. Ooh,
yeah.
I'm fascinated with the idea of the local municipality, local government, making a major public investment. At the end of the day, what really interests me is, you know, I'm an Albemarle County taxpayer, and I'm on public water. And so I'm really looking at this, well, what's it going to cost me? I mean, what is
exactly.
my investment? What's the public investment in this plan that, honestly, I don't feel like I had much say in?
Well, this is interestingly, you asked, how do we respond to those who say there won't be enough water? First of all, the first response is, it is very clear at this point, we do not need nearly the volume of water that they have projected. Our use is more than 25% below their projections today. And that is hopefully what this next study will address. But beyond that, why that is so important is the revenues going down. They're not selling as much water as they used to. And if they put the debt of a new dam and pipeline, and let's not forget the pipeline. The dam isn't the big part, the big expense. It's the pipeline that they say is needed to fill up that new reservoir. They put that expense on a declining revenue source. You can just imagine what's going to happen to your bill or to the taxpayers who might well have to bail out this really bad situation.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people listening might think, well, I'm not on public water. This doesn't affect me. But it will if you have to raise taxes to cover the expenses of this, because you can't ask just the ratepayers to bear it alone.
And it's what's happening in solid waste right now. Taxpayers are bailing out solid waste.
Have been for quite a while.
Yeah,
what do you mean?
It is not generating the revenue that it needs to sustain itself. And so Albemarle County and the city of Charlottesville have had to subsidize it, basically, and that's coming out of tax dollars.
We're talking with Richard Lloyd and D.D. Smith. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. It's 15 minutes until 6 o'clock. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. Richard, you had a point?
Well, these are difficult times for lots and lots of people, and I think it's important to know that there is no crisis. We don't have to spend anything for years to come because right now we're in an agricultural drought, but the reservoirs are largely, or they're filled except for they've been drawn down for hurricane season. And our demand is not what it was in 2002. In other words, we're not using as much water today, normally, as we were during the depths of the drought of 2002. So we're not going to have a crisis.
And that's all low-flow toilets, low-flow shower heads, wiser use of people understanding, declining water
absolutely.
Sources.
Absolutely. And that is in the literature. That is anticipated that our water use would come down. It is coming down. It's coming down across the country for exactly that reason.
But that is not taken into account, really, if I understand you right, with this 50-year water supply plan.
They're
assuming just the opposite.
They peanut-buttered 5% instead of the real numbers.
Which is more like 25 to 50%, I mean, now, depending on how you calculate it. And that's largely because we're a very residential community. So that impact of residential plumbing fixtures, which is what the Energy Policy Act that you're referring to, all these standards are coming, were mandated down, is going to have a really significant impact on a community like ours.
Yeah, well, Dee Dee's exactly right. The Energy Policy Act is interesting. It came from the Department of Energy, and that was the advent of the water supply problem, is because water is energy intensive. Well, the second largest expense that Rivanna has is energy. And across this country, you're finding that all these municipalities are largely having problems with selling less and less product and trying to support the current debt loads that they have. And here, our water supply wants to take our $50 million debt and push it to multiples of that.
We're talking with Richard Lloyd and Dee Dee Smith. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. So just to review now, we have a new study in saying the existing dam at Ragged Mountain is in good shape. Right. Is that being contested? I don't want you to speak for him, but is that being contested?
I haven't heard anybody contest it. We are waiting to hear the second phase of the study, which is on costs. And that's important, obviously.
Yeah.
What will the different options cost? It's the beauty of it, though, is there are so many options. Just repairing it, raising it 13 feet, phasing it, raising it a little bit and then raising it more later. That is all in the phase one of the first report.
What's your reaction to Charlottesville Tomorrow recently ran a big headline front page in the Daily Progress saying, the Norris plan, which is right. Not about a big new water supply plan, but of trying to deal with resources we already have and maybe updating them a little bit. That's not going to suffice, or the DEQ weighed in and said no go or something.
Yeah, and that was a total misinterpretation of the letter from the DEQ. We actually met with the DEQ after that. There was a draft. First of all, it was a draft report. It had a lot of errors in it, and the letter that accompanied it from DEQ didn't say what was purported to be being said, that you can't do this. It said, well, because of the stream flows that are in one permit, they don't translate to another permit.
That was never issued by the DEQ. It was actually FOIA'd by Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and FOIA'd before it was ever released or intended to be released. And it was FOIA'd before Dave Norris ever saw it. And then he brought it out, and within half a day, it was a headlines in the Daily Progress. And if you read it closely, it did say this was FOIA'd material. But if you look at the headline, you would say the obvious conclusion is, well, the dam's no good, and it's too small on top of that.
We're talking with Richard Lloyd and Dee Dee Smith. Let's go to the phones, 977-1070. Keith is on the line in Charlottesville. Keith, welcome to the program. You go right ahead.
Thank you, Coy. I think I recall reading not that long ago that about one out of every 5 gallons that we put into our pipes gets lost before it gets to a house anyway. So do we really need such a big reservoir, and can we use some of that money instead to fix the pipe so we don't waste so much? Is that part of your figures you're talking about?
Keith, thank you for calling. What you're talking about are losses in the finished water side of the equation, and that affects the consumptive use of the community. And, of course, if you're buying water from wholesale from Rivanna, then you're selling it to the people. That is accounted for by the price that the city would be paying to sell it to a city resident. That also drives demand, and the demand drives how big do we want this reservoir to be. And reducing the consumptive use reduces the size of the reservoir that's required. The other thing that I would add is that when the DEQ, that letter that was prepared but was FOIA'd to be released, had inaccuracies in the amount of impoundment that Ragged Mountain had. It was they attributed it to a phone call that was made by the DEQ to Tom Frederick, and the numbers were somewhere. And I'll tell you the story, but the numbers are close. He said there was 729 million gallons, and there turned out to be 972 million gallons. Or something. Didi, do you have those exact numbers?
No, we don't need the exact numbers. Say, Keith. Keith, what's your solution? What do you think should happen?
Well, I just think that before we go and start buying a bigger reservoir, why don't we fix the leaks and just not pour it into the ground so much?
It's such a good point, because any efforts that we make, any money we put towards reducing our demand is like building new supply.
Yeah.
But it's more permanent. It is the benefits of reducing our water usage are so multifold. We save energy besides water. We save energy. We save chemicals. We save stream flow.
Now, isn't that part of the of Tom Fredericks and the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority? Hasn't that always been a part of their vision? What Keith's talking about, fixing the pipes.
It is, and it is also an important priority for each of the jurisdictions, for the city and the county, because they own a lot of the distribution pipes. Ravana only has responsibility for some, but and I do think it's ongoing, and it will continue to be, but it is too contributing to the decline in our demand.
We're talking with Richard Lloyd and Didi Smith. Keith, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We got a line open at 977-1070. Got just a minute or two left. So where do we go from here? I mean, what do you want people to know?
Well, the first thing that comes out is tomorrow we should get back the review of the current demand analysis that was done by Gannett Fleming.
The demand analysis, of course, is the study that says how much water you're going to need, and this is what's driving everything.
Right, exactly.
The demand analysis really is what's driving everything.
Right, it's a very important number. And we're hoping that in fact, the guy who's doing it, there's a sort of a one-man show doing it, who will take into consider conservation. He did come and talk to us. We have sent him lots and lots of material. We encouraged him to take into consideration the Energy Policy Act, gave him a lot of literature. And so I'm optimistic. I hope that he will come back and be conservation-minded.
Yeah, so we'll be looking for news on that this week as that report comes out. And tomorrow, a different view of this very same topic with Liz Palmer of the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority Board, I guess.
No, Albemarle County Service Authority.
That's right, Albemarle County Service Authority Board. She will give us her perspective on this issue in the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks so much for having
us on. Thank you, Coy. We appreciate it.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.